And we'd like to start by thanking you for joining us. My name is David Conrad. I work with AHA Process, doing a lot of work with the webinars and online training. So you may have had a little bit of contact with me before. I just want to go over a couple things before we begin. We had over 100 people registered for the call. So in the interest of keeping background noise to a minimum, what I've gone ahead and done is mute the conference line for now. That'll help us keep the sort of dogs barking, phones ringing, you know, weather in the background to a minimum and make sure that most of us can hear Ruth. A couple things. You'll see in the webinar window, you should see a diagram there in the middle, and you should see a chat window in the bottom right. What we'll be doing is, let me go ahead and clear that chat here. What we'll be doing is, in the interest of time, Ruth will be trying to get through most of her content in one shot. So I won't ask her to stop and answer questions as we go, but please feel free to use that chat window to type in questions as you think of them. And at the end, when we have a Q&A portion, we'll address as many of those as we can, and those we can't get to or don't have the answers to, which is certainly possible, we'll respond via email if you'd like. And there's a couple other things. Let me just check here. Okay, actually, I think that's it. So without further ado, let me introduce you Ruth Weirich. She's an engagement specialist here with us at AHA, and I'll let her tell us what she's going to be talking about.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's nice to gather with you to address creating stability for employees from poverty. Just a little bit about myself. I'm some of you may know me from my earlier role with AHA Process. I have 30-plus years of retail and publishing industry experience. I would say I'm a generalist, experience in leadership and marketing and sales, budgets, financials. I do have an undergrad degree in business and an MBA as well. Today we're going to talk about this new workshop, Finding Talent and Growing Profits. It is a new workshop for business. Why did AHA develop the workshop? We very much have businesses that are using Bridges Out of Poverty and or a framework for understanding poverty. This started years ago with Cascade Engineering. That is the classic example that we tend to point to. They've had great results around retention. This was followed by, you know, quite frankly, I'm afraid to say, because I'm so afraid that I'll leave out some important contributors, but utility companies, frozen food distributors, banks, hospitals. Then there were partnerships between nonprofits and businesses. Working Bridges Vermont is a key example of that. They've partnered with construction companies and food distributors to bring stability. St. Joseph Bridges Out of Poverty is another example. Cincinnati Work uses it in a different way. My point is that the work with business is already happening. Now we need a mainstream solution. Just like Bridges started years ago by taking the core work out of framework for understanding poverty and translating that information to the social services sector, that's what we're doing now by creating first this workshop, Finding Talent, Growing Profits. This is a beginning for us, and we know that it will continue to evolve, just as Bridges has evolved with new ideas and new strategies that you have brought back to the solutions, and it continues to grow and to be enhanced. This information is very important to business. There are certain employee patterns that businesses have when employing individuals from poverty. High turnover is an issue. Showing up for work late or not showing up. Language disconnects. The loss of productivity conflict between supervisors and employees are at the top of the list. Because of that, it's costing productivity and profits to the business. So there are three ways that we'll look at today that this workshop helps solve business problems when there are employees from poverty in employment. So if you will look at the first handout or on the screen, the stability paradigm, I want to give credit first to Beth Kuhn and Deborah Whitehead. They are both Bridges trainers. Beth worked for years with the Working Bridges Vermont program. They were hired by AHA Process to put together the core pieces of finding talent, growing profits. And these handouts that we're looking at today were part of their development and creativity along that way. So when we take a look at the stability paradigm, we're really focusing on stability, and we're using the lens of economic class to talk about the diversity in the workforce. So we definitely go through those, what we'll all just call Bridges core, about the environment, the resources, the hidden rules, and the language, and how that impacts business. Then, and our goal is really creating that stability in the workforce. And then also, secondly, is the opportunity for increased retention, performance, and profits once the stability has been initiated and worked on. So it goes both ways, stability for the company, stability for the individual. We use different language when we talk to business than when we would K-12 or the social services community. We are talking about daily instability, daily stability, long-term stability. We don't use the words poverty, middle class, and wealth. We use mental models of class, the circles, but again, we are talking about the instability, what that looks like from an instability or stability perspective. We have included additional hidden rules, ones that make sense to business and productivity. Again, we talk with them about expenses and equity and opportunity costs and net income and return on investment. Gross profit, these are words that we don't use, but it makes make sense to those executives. So the first piece of that workshop is really about understanding the diversity at work using that economic lens. Now, today I'm not going to spend more time talking about that. I'm making an assumption that you coming to this table in this recording today, that you have a core understanding either from Framework or from Bridges. With business executives, we find that if we can provide a financial case, a business case for doing this work as it applies to instability, it's very helpful. I talked to an executive once who told me he wasn't concerned about maintaining a relationship and keeping high retention of his entry-level employee. Typically, they come from daily instability. That he could hire that person any day of the week. I don't disagree with him. But he's probably going to see a similar pattern in that individual. I talked to another mid-level manager who says, his boss says, look, we aren't a social service agency here, but both are concerned about net income and the ability to be competitive in their industry, and that's what's important to them, and that's where we have to approach it. In 2012, there was a survey of 500 HR professionals, and they said that the average cost to fill a position is nearly $11,000, and it generally takes employees 8 months to become fully productive. So how do you get to that 11,000 when you're talking about instability? Well, it's a lot of it. It's about turnover and productivity. So first you have the cost associated with an employee who is less productive before they terminate voluntarily or they're dismissed. Then there is the cost of replacing somebody, including administrative, advertising, screening, interviewing, security checks, references, drug testing, maybe psychological testing. There's lost productivity that's associated in the interim period before a replacement can be found and they start the job. But then there's also that time where a new worker is getting up to speed, the coworkers that are supporting them, the cost of formal training and informal training. That's how you get to it costing $11,000 a person. So let's, I'm going to ask you to go up into your head and pull out an Excel spreadsheet, and we're going to take a look at a return on investment calculator scenario. And this is where our focus is really about dealing with daily instability in the workforce and what that does with productivity. So on your Excel spreadsheet, we have columns: employee, a column for team, supervisor, and human resource, and a total column. So five columns. And then on our return on investment calculator, we have rows. What would be the hourly wage for each of those individuals, the employee, the team member, the supervisor, HR? How many hours each week do we have in lost productivity per employee dealing with daily instability? We know the issues that daily instability brings to individuals in poverty. So if they come in late, they don't come in all, they leave early, there's this conflict, how much is that costing a team from that instability? Then how much would that cost annually? If you think about all those employees that you have dealing with daily instability, what that is looking like for a supervisor across the different teams. And then also, what about turnover? You know, some people say it's 23%. Some people say turnover can be as much as 50%. So based on sector and based on business, how much is turnover costing you each year? And you get to plug that $11,000 in there. So you come up with a total annual cost for instability in the workplace. What would it cost if you had some stability initiatives in place? And when you look at the instability cost versus the stability initiatives, that's going to give you a return on investment for that. Using an example from the healthcare industry, it was calculated that the cost of replacing 288 employees in a hospital that employed 1,200 people and had 200 beds was $2,888,000 a year when all sources of the cost were analyzed. You can do a lot of stability initiatives with that kind of loss. When it comes to return on investment, the research solidly indicates that there is a business case for the retention of low-wage employees from daily unstable economic environments. And when we use an ROI calculator with a business, it provides this concrete tool for developing cost-saving predictions for the business based on their current turnover and their HR issues. So in the workshop, first we start with this Bridges Core. It creates a frame. And we use the ROI tool as that puts dollars to the need for this work. And so it speaks to executives. Next, I want to talk about some retention strategies that can help with the performance and the profits we have created this economic frame, and we're working our way to stabilizing employees in this unstable environment. The first one I want to talk about is flexibility. There is a whole movement called workplace flexibility. One of the researchers I was reading, Gwen, defines the concept of workplace flexibility as workers and their employees working together to decide how, when, and where work will be performed. Flexibility is about an employee and an employer making changes to when, where, and how a person will work to better meet individual and business needs. So in one study that it was done of 1,400 workers over 2 years, 70% of managers and 87% of employees reported that workplace flexibility enhanced productivity and retention. So what we know is that when workers are given more responsibility, are accordingly held accountable, and are supported at work, they are more effective workers. They're more satisfied with their jobs. They're more committed to the workplace, more productive, and more likely to be retained. The researcher, Gwen, she also noted that there's a 30% less, employees are 30% less likely to intend to leave their job when they have flexibility. As bridges and communities, we know that individuals, and in this case employees, with daily instability, they are dealing with today and making ends meet with today. And when we have these discussions with business around the environment, the resources, the hidden rules, the language, we know that if an employee living with daily instability has some flexibility in their jobs, it will reduce absenteeism, enhance productivity, and the customer experience of those that they serve. It also was found to reduce cost for employers by less overtime costs resulting from unscheduled absences. The workplace flexibility movement argues that the underlying principle in workplace flexibility is control and choice. Control and choice. We all like that. Right? Giving workers more choice and control over their time in order to accommodate their complex needs. Complex needs. Choice in location, control over the number of hours worked, choice about schedules, and control over priorities in a work-life balance. This same movement would recommend flexibility in the areas of compressed work weeks, part-time schedules, self-scheduling systems, teleworking. Of course, each example given needs to make sure it works both for the employer and the employee to be successful. It's all about workplace effectiveness, benefiting employers and employees alike. Reuters, in 2006, reported that McDonald's in Britain was testing workplace flexibility. With no prior notice, two people in the same family who worked at the same branch could cover each other's shifts. Very cool, right? So all of these researchers that we just talked about, they support our views from a bridges perspective, from an economic lens perspective, that because of the tyranny of the moment, that this flexibility really helps an employee be more successful and the employer. Now, we have to address the objections, which we do in the workshop. There will definitely be organizations that say, oh, we cannot do that. And so those are addressed in the workplace. Another piece I want to talk about pertaining retention is promoting from within. So for starters, studies support that it's more expensive to hire externally, 18 to 20% more. Secondly, our existing employee has shown a degree of loyalty to the business. Third, transitioning to the new role takes less time and productivity remains at a higher level. And lastly, relationships are already there, already established. There's trust. There's an understanding of corporate culture. So based upon our belief that there are many reasons to promote from within and reasons to identify and develop our existing talent. And Beth Kuhn and Deborah Whitehead, they developed this quadrant for looking at your hidden talent that's in your organization. And I want to take a moment to look at that right now. So that's the second handout. Can you advance that? Yeah, thanks. So from our Bridges training, we talk about concrete and abstract thinking. We do the same with employers. We have employees that think concretely and those that think abstractly. We need both. So in this model, we have abstract to concrete, left to right, and running vertically, we have the achievement future focus, and a lot along the bottom, we have that survival and immediate focus. So we see that the executives are in the top left corner. We see in the bottom right quadrant are the employees on the front line whom we may allow to quit. We fire them. They live in daily instability, and they appear not to fit in. The lower left employees are the trainers, the fashion designers, the news journalists. They are people who think abstractly, while they also work on tight deadlines, and they have more of an immediate focus. They are the creative group, and they sometimes, they don't always play by the company rule book. And I'm just saying that I know some of you are on this call, but you contribute highly, and we can't do without you for the success of the company. This axis represents how employees process information related to their jobs. The axis also represents the influence of the two different driving forces we have in the workplace, the stability and the achievement focus, and the instability and the survival focus. This helps a manager or a leader process information, and it informs them how their employees are thinking, living, and where their mindsets are when they're in our employment. The question becomes, and the power of this tool, is that when you think of your employees, you can see which quadrant they currently fit into. Managers, leaders, HR professionals can use this to mentor an employee into another quadrant based on business initiatives. There are people who are working beside us with different challenges in life, and we have not been focused on increasing their resources, increasing their stability, which also increases the stability of the business. And this grid allows people a quick look, a quick mental model of how they can move employees and retain employees. So promoting from within is less expensive. There's also a degree of loyalty. Productivity remains higher. Relationships are already built and solid. By promoting from within, it helps stabilize that individual and stabilize the company. Okay, I hope you're all still with me. I want to look at the third handout, Finding Talent, Growing Profits. This kind of pulls it all together. We see the economic lens pieces, finding hidden talent, language, resources. We have a problem statement and our objective. And what I want to talk about are the benefit programs at the bottom. So now we have the economic lens to use as our guide when we're looking at problems and objectives, and in this case, programs. And we use this as a kind of a way of guiding and creating stability. So I just want to give some examples. The benefit programs. The Working Bridges Vermont would be an example of this, where they created the Income Advance Program that advances a loan to an employee up to a certain amount, and then it comes out of a paycheck little by little in the future. It helps create stability that keeps people at work. An example is a hospital that offered a 401k match. The employees didn't have to do anything. They got a match. The housekeeping department didn't subscribe to it. But they offered then an emergency loan program, and it was very successful. It's all about the needs of the employee base and how you can shift your benefit programs to fit the employee base and the stability that they need. Another example would be if a business became a member of an employer resource network, an ERN. It works to build stability between the employee and the employer, and it can be a pathway to self-sufficiency. The question for business would be, which of these benefits should we offer to our employees that would provide stability to the employee and to us as the employer? And they would absolutely need to do a cost analysis for the company to see what's happening and what they believe their payoff would be. Policy changes. Again, we're using the lens now of economic class to review our policies. An example would be the flexibility that I talked about previously. There was an electronics manufacturer, and they had very rigid expectations about being to work on time. They had all kinds of reasons why it had to happen. One year, they ran into a cash flow snag, and they couldn't give raises. So they decided to offer flex time instead in an attempt not to lose employees. That meant all of a sudden the rules changed, and now an employee could show up within 2 hours, or they could show up for the early shift and take a two-hour lunch if they needed. The productivity and employee morale just soared through the roof. And now, this wasn't an intentional change for them, but they realized the importance of it and that they got much, much more than a cost of living raise would have ever given to them. Training programs. Boston College Center for Work and Family says that in the future, the value of hourly and low-wage employees is expected to increase because of demographic shifts. So in order to stay competitive in the global economy, employers are going to need to hire, train, and retrain entry-level employees. Now, I'm sure this isn't a reality that business is eager to hear about, much less eager to embrace. But if they want to stay competitive, they're going to have to. So it might be that they start offering GED classes or financial literacy, as well as teaching job technical expertise that will support their internal systems. I read about a company that every year they give each employee $1,500 to spend on learning. It can be a book, a certificate, a course. It's intended to strengthen their skills for the job and even prepare them for advancement. Management practices. How does upper management operate? Are they inclusive? Do they promote from within? Are all employees critical to the success of the business? Or are they like the CEO that I talked about earlier who felt that his daily instable employees were easy to replace, somewhat disposable employees? How is onboarding handled? And what about performance appraisals? We know of a company that was doing 3 days of very intensive onboarding or orientation with new hires. And then the following week, they had a huge amount of employees that did not come back. it was very expensive for them. So after being exposed to Bridges, they discovered that those employees needed more concrete experience, and so they started giving them, I'll just say, kind of just-in-time onboarding, so that then they could go back and work in the job and put some concrete to it instead of the abstract. They included pictures and stories, and then they did this three different times so that they got all the information they needed, but they broke it down. They benefited greatly from a higher retention. And last, individual interactions. Again, we're now looking at this through the lens of economic class. So what can be done to improve the relationships between employees and management? We know how individuals value that relationship. So whether it's in the benefit programs, the policy changes, the management changes, the training, what can be done? For the company, it must make solid business sense. They must explore the cost benefits and the expenses. But if we go back to that hospital example where they were spending $2 million, almost $3 million a year in turnover, you can do a lot in stability strategies. So all five of these program areas can translate to stability, retention, and profitability for the business. The company may not change everything, but Bridges' concepts change the way that they will review the areas. And along the way, it translates to increased daily stability for the employee. And when we refer back to that stability handout, we see how it creates opportunities for both the employee and the employer. So that was a really quick overview of some of the key elements of the workshop. How would you get started with this in your community with businesses? Like anything, you can't solve a problem until a need or a pain is recognized. Businesses must feel the pain. They must feel the pain of something, their net income, their turnover, the conflict, people not showing up. They have to feel that. So first, when you're talking to them, a relationship helps, right? If you have a relationship with somebody in the business, it's going to help tremendously. But then you need to listen to the issues that the business is having and what they're telling you about having employees working there with daily instability. I think that these statistics that we have quoted today help give you some, I'll say, ammunition in talking about working with low-income people. The return on investment, knowing that there's $11,000 in average turnover cost, that's a huge chunk. It doesn't matter what size of a business you are. So the finding talent and the growing profits is now open for business. AHA consultants are now doing national presentations. This model has been used for some time with Bridges and Bridges into Health and now business, where a national AHA consultant comes in and helps jumpstart the work. And the Bridges community provides support in embedding the strategies. So it's really our goal that in the workshop Finding Talent and Growing Profits, that business can use the lens of economic class as a new way of looking at diversity and providing this common language when discussing employee differences in the workplace. And our goal is that it helps provide stabilization for the business and for the employee. Business is all about fulfilling a passion and meeting a need, but in the end, business must be profitable for the short term and in the long term. And we feel that this workshop is chipping away at providing that stability for the long term. So we want business to begin getting the results that they want, the results that they're looking for, and this frame helps begin that process. And as I said, it's also going to move individuals, employees with daily instability to daily stability. So I know that was quick, but what kind of comments or questions do you have?
I think, how would I pose questions to you, Ruth? And we'll do it that way. Does that work, Ruth?
Sure.
We'll start from the bottom. Taylor Gerken, would you include getting ahead in possible training for entry-level employees who are coming from instability?
I think that the concept of getting ahead is fabulous, and yes, but it might need to be tweaked in how a company would implement that. And Phil would be the best one to talk to about that in the process. But it's escaping me, but I really think that we have had business using getting ahead. I just can't think of names, but it is one thing that we definitely talk about to employers as part of training opportunities that employees be trained on hidden rules and resources as well. It might just look a little bit different than getting ahead.
Yeah. That looks like a follow-up question from the same. And will this work be available for the TOT model similar to Bridges Out of Poverty?
You know, I would say as time goes along, yes, I would say that. I mean, we're now adding a day to the Bridges Out of Poverty for health and Bridges into Health. So if you are a Bridges community and you're already trained on Bridges, but you're doing health work in Indianapolis coming up this spring, there's one day where you can be certified on Bridges into Health. So my assumption is yes, but we need to get just a little bit further down the road with this.
And I would remind folks that now is the time to ask questions. If there are folks who want to ask verbal questions, we can explore that. Just let us know in the chat, and I'll unmute the lines. But in the meantime, Mike has a couple comments here. He sort of is asking the rest of you folks if you've had any success selling share time to employers. And then also earlier asked if some of the statistics you were going over were available in a PDF or something. And I told him I'd ask you. I'm not sure if that sort of thing, if we have something or if we could put something like that together.
Lynn, do you want to take that one?
Let me unmute Lynn, actually. There we go. Go ahead, Lynn.
Good. So let me go back and see. It's Mike's question about selling timeshare to employers.
I think that was a question to the rest of the attendees. But his question, as far as the statistics that Ruth were going over, he mentioned it'd be great to have them in a PDF, and if we had one available or could put one together.
Right. I think, as Ruth had said, we're really learning and reading about this information, and so much of what she has talked about is part of the workshop that we are creating. I am not sure quite which stats you're wanting or you're really resonated with you, so type it in and we can see what kind of information we can feed back to you as well.
Yeah. Again, any questions you have, now's the time. Looks like another comment from Mike.
What I can say to Lori is that I do, based on what I've read from this flexibility movement group, that there are a lot of ways to create flexibility for low-wage employees and entry-level employees. Just like, let's take the CNAs, even offering them some flexibility in their work shifts and how many hours that they can work versus you must be full-time. So I know that that is going to be an obstacle, something that we work through with employers, and each employer is going to be different in the kind of flexibility that can be offered.
I think we see, I see a question here about assuming that if a company is posting that they need new hires all the time, like four or five times maybe a year, is that a good company to talk to about this program? It could be. It could be one of those companies that if they are continually hiring, it obviously means that their turnover rate is high. And that would be a company that I would consider going to and saying, hey, I have some ideas or some ways of talking with you and seeing if maybe we can get your turnover rate lowered.
Yeah, I think it depends on whether you know that company is growing or they're remaining the same. Well, my email address is R.K. Weirich, and Weirich is Weirich at ahaprocess.com. R.K. Weirich at ahaprocess.com, and Lynn's email address is ljackson@ahaprocess.com, and I'd welcome to talk with you further and in more detail.
And I think David has put our email addresses up under notes. Thank you, David. So you
can... You're welcome. And I think if there are no other questions, again, as we've said, feel free to contact any and all of us via email if you have any other questions. We'll get back to you as soon as we can. And we won't take up any more of your time. We appreciate the time you spent with us today. We hope you found it valuable. There's some other upcoming webinars that we'll be holding on some different topics. So please join us for those as well. And if you've got colleagues or friends you think might find them interesting, let them know. Forward the email. So we'll talk to you soon, and we hope you have a great day. And thank you, Ruth, for sharing that with us.
Thanks, everybody.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.